Hello, this is Dr. David Friedman, host of To Your Good Health Radio. 3.9 million dogs enter U.S. animal shelters every year, with many facing uncertain futures. But here's the beautiful twist. When somebody rescues a dog, they are inadvertently being rescued themselves. Research shows that dog owners are 24% less likely to suffer from depression, have 36% fewer heart attacks, 40% decreased risk of dementia, and they live 2 years longer. With us today is Rocky Kanaka, author of the new book, Sitting with Dogs. His heartfelt YouTube series has inspired countless adoptions, including my own rescue dog named Indy, which has really changed my life beyond words. So whether you're a devoted dog lover now or considering adoption, or you just need a reminder of the healing power of unconditional love, don't go anywhere. I'm positive this will be a doggone inspiring episode that you don't want to miss. Stay tuned. It all starts now.
It's To Your Good Health Radio with number one best-selling author and renowned wellness expert, Dr. David Friedman, changing lives just for the health of it.
Joining me is an Emmy-nominated TV host, YouTuber, and Webby-nominated creator who has transformed pet rescue advocacy into a powerful movement. With over 11 million followers, he's traveled the country helping dogs that have been forgotten, abandoned, or abused. He shared these transformative stories through his Netflix show, Save Our Shelter, and his YouTube series called Sitting with Dogs. He brings viewers inside kennel walls to witness the powerful journey from despair to hope. As a passionate pet chef and entrepreneur, he also shares his love for animal health, nutrition, and healthy treats through The Dog Bakery. His work proves that sometimes the most powerful medicine isn't found in a prescription bottle, but in the unconditional love of a rescued companion. His new book is called Sitting with Dogs, Stories of Rescue Dogs Going from Lost to Loved. Welcome to the show, Rocky Kanaka.
Hey, thanks for having me. I want to thank you for all of the health tips you've given me over the years. And also, I think I should have you just follow me around from now on with that sort of introduction. Wow, I sound amazing.
Easy to give just because I've been such a fan for so long. You know, actually, I'm sitting here with my rescue dog, Indy, right now, curled up in my lap. And we've both been looking forward to the conversation because your heart food series was the catalyst that led me to adopt Indy. So having you here today feels especially meaningful.
That means a lot to me. It's like when I hear things like that on the hard days, I go, we have to keep going because it makes a difference. And I haven't had the opportunity to meet Indy. Tell me about Indy. What kind of dog? Where did Indy come from? Tell me more.
Yeah, he's basically a terrier chihuahua mix. They call him a ratichu. Because he's a ratichu, not hachu, yeah, okay. That's sneezing, but a ratichu. And he was found neglected and abandoned under a bridge in South Carolina. So I went over there and got him, made the trip, and it's been amazing, amazing journey beyond words, though. But enough about me. Share with them what inspired you dedicated your whole life to shelter animals. What inspired that?
It started small. I think sometimes we all get the feeling, especially if you've seen my show and you're sitting in the kennel with me, with these shut down dogs that many would call broken, are certainly forgotten. And you go, I want to quit it all. I want to quit my job. I want to go do this and just sit in kennels with dogs. But it doesn't start that way. It starts small. It's little acts of doing what you did with Indy, where, you know, he needed you. His whole world now is you. And I'm sure very similar in return. And so I just started small, volunteering. I have little bakeries for dogs in throughout Southern California. And we are, fun fact, we're the number one shipper of dog cakes for dog birthday celebrations in the nation. And so we were doing this in my retail stores, and I was hosting little dog adoptions where I'd go get a dog from the shelter. And LA is so bad right now with the crisis, and has been for years. And what started out to be really exciting, we'd get a dog adopted, myself and my team, we were so enthusiastic, turned into maybe despair, definitely fatigue very quickly, because for every one dog or two dogs that I'd get adopted, there'd be 10 more behind that dog. And it just seemed never ending. And so I just got involved more and more and started fostering and volunteering. And the more I dug in, the more I saw how massive the problem was, but how so many individual dogs were getting passed by, especially the ones that when you go to the shelter, they're not running up to the front of the kennel, wagging their tail with their cute little button nose, where you could go, oh, I could see this dog in my family. It's the ones in the back corner that are hiding, that are traumatized, that are dirty and or skinny and they look diseased. And probably a lot of your audience is going, well, I would take that one because they're dog lovers. But if you're just starting this journey, you may not know that, and that could be very scary for you. That they're the ones that are least likely to get out of the shelter. So I just thought, if I could just show them a moment of love and kindness, I can't save every single one that I sit with. I try. But if I could just show them a moment and let them know that they're important, then at least we have that. And dogs are so good at living in the now that I knew I needed to be more present with them in that moment.
Yeah, great. I know I've watched you walk into kennels with dogs labeled as too aggressive or biters, dogs that the shelter staff warned you about, yet as calm as still water, you slowly have them melting in your lap, covering your face with kisses. How do you create such profound transformations going from fear and aggression to complete trust and love?
I will definitely say I don't do much. These dogs are the ones that are the heroes because they take these initial steps of what I call bravery for them, and they transform. And every time I learn something from one of these dogs, because what they've been through, they've seen the worst of humanity, yet within an hour, sometimes 2 hours, they're willing to start trusting again. And we just don't see that often in humans. And it just goes to show that dogs are so good at being vulnerable and being brave, which I've learned, I didn't know this before I started working with dogs, that bravery is not an emotion. Fear is an emotion. Anger is an emotion. Happiness. These things just flood our body and then we have them. Bravery is a choice you have to make. And I see dogs do that time and time again. And they're the ones that deserve all the credit. I just happen to be there witnessing it along with all of you.
Yeah, well said. I know there's an old saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks, yet when senior dogs who've endured emotional trauma find a loving, nurturing home, they can heal and transform. What guidance would you offer to new owners who may feel impatient as their dog kind of works through those scars and neglect or cruelty?
Time and empathy, I would say, because I think we all deserve that. So if you just take a moment and you look at any of your frustrations that you have in your life, many of them are the fact that you're not getting the time and the empathy that you need. And dogs need that too. They don't just have a switch they can flip to be the ideal lassie of a dog. You know, they need time to heal as well. And, you know, I always say, just when people say, I've got a shutdown dog and I don't know what to do, patience and give it time and you will see miracles happen.
Yeah, I know your YouTube series has shined a spotlight on so many dogs once deemed, quote, unadoptable. I've seen you talk to sick seniors and amputees, to blind and deaf pups who've waited months, even years, some of these dogs for a home. And you show how lucky somebody would be to welcome these special needs dogs into their lives. I'm curious, what have these once forgotten dogs taught you about perseverance and hope?
I think that they have taught me vulnerability more than anything, because it's only in that vulnerability that we can start to heal. And when we are willing to share and show that vulnerability to others, it is reciprocated tenfold.
Yeah, that makes sense. I know there's a lot of science out there about dog petting. A dog has been shown to boost feel-good hormones like oxytocin, dopamine, serotonin, endorphins, and it actually lowers that stress hormone called cortisol. So that said, I just have to ask, do you credit being around dogs so much to your calm, cool, stress-free demeanor? Because boy, you got it. You're the definition of chill. I love it.
What's funny is if you were to ask any of my friends to define me, I would be the exact opposite of chill. And
really?
you get a freeze frame of me in the kennel gaining more from the dogs than they'll ever gain from me. And that is me getting that moment of chill. If you look really closely and you zoom in on the videos, you'll see not only do I have an Apple Watch, but I also have a fitness ring because I'm constantly monitoring my heart rate. I had a stroke about 6 years ago, was in really good health, and I'm fine now. We stitched up a hole in my heart, but I have to constantly make sure that I'm within that range, and dogs help me with this. And I encourage anyone listening, you don't have to run to a shelter to do this. Just sit down with your dog for 5 to 10 minutes in your home. We so often don't do that. We'll walk by and pet them. We'll maybe if they jump on the bed with us, but just sit on the floor with your dog and just take 5, 10 minutes. It is the best way to slow down your heart rate and get and find your calm than anything else I've ever found. And my fitness tracker can prove it.
Wow, that's great. I know one of the big excuses I hear for not adopting a dog is, I'm too busy. There's just no room in my life to take care of a dog. And I got to admit, I use the same excuses. I work long days at the clinic. I traveled frequently. I told myself, I'll wait later. Maybe when I retire, I'll get a dog. But then one day after watching one of your inspiring videos, I stopped making excuses and I adopted Indy. And guess what? The time I thought that I didn't have somehow appeared. Indy goes to work with me, travels on my shoulders in his doggy backpack, our healthy walks, backyard runs, and car rides haven't just fit into my life, they've transformed my life. So for those of you out there that are saying, I don't have time for a dog, Rocky, what can you add that they might be missing?
You took the words out of my mouth. That's exactly what I would have said. And I will also say, cats are great. Like I think sometimes people think I'm team dog. Cats are even better at scheduling and they need loving homes as well. And also it really comes down to one, if you don't have the time and you know you don't, that's okay. But if you go, well, I don't have the time, but I really want a dog, and you can adjust a few things in your life, just like you said, doctor, it's absolutely possible with a little bit of budget and a little bit of reworking of your schedule, you can find that for a perfect companion.
Yeah. And sometimes if you're waiting for the perfect time, there's no such thing. I mean, people have kids. They go, oh, I found out I was pregnant. We weren't ready. Oh, no. And it works. They love it. Like, see, it worked out. You know, it's like they use that excuse. And I'm guilty. I did it for decades. It's like, I just don't have the time. And you know what? It just happened. And it works. And it works smoothly. So don't use that as an excuse, folks. It really makes a difference. Let me ask, in your book, you share stories of dogs definitely going from lost to loved. Can you tell us maybe about one particular transformation that moved you and maybe taught you about resilience?
Yeah, let me tell you about a dog named Macy, this German Shepherd who was one of the skinniest dogs I've ever worked with. Not only could you see her ribs, but you could see where she was so far gone that her head was even concave because the body had just pulled every bit of nutrients and muscle and everything out of her. And it had been this way for years, so much to the point where her teeth and her nails were soft from the lack of nutrition. You couldn't clip her nails. You could just squeeze them off. I've never seen anything like it. And what I learned from her, because fast forward, because you hear things like that and you go, oh my gosh, I can't hear that. She is living the best life. She is healthy. She is strong. She has her teeth. She's 3 years old, has a mom that was a former vet tech. She is a happy, I would say now, maybe even a couple pounds overweight because
oh, wow.
she's been sneaking too many treats maybe. But the thing I learned from her, the lesson I learned from her, when I first met her, I had treats and I had food and she was scared of a bowl because she didn't know what a bowl was, a stainless steel bowl. She'd never seen it. And so she saw her reflection in that and she was terrified. So she wouldn't eat her food. And so I was hand feeding her. But what she needed more than anything that she cried for was affection. She needed to lay her head on my chest and just hold it there for a moment and be held and feel love. And her need for love was as strong as her need for food, for air, for water. And I think sometimes we try and deny that. We go, I don't need anybody. I'll do this on my own. I can live this life on my own. And we need that. As much as we need air, as much as we need food, we need love and we need each other. And it's just a reminder to reach out, check in with your loved one and tell them that. And I'd say that's one of the biggest lessons I've learned from these dogs. It's just as much of a need as anything else in our life.
Yeah, well said. I know one of my favorite videos is your annual Barksgiving series that you do where you share Thanksgiving dinner with the dog inside the kennel. What inspired you to start that tradition? I love it.
That's so funny. I love food, like the next person. And Thanksgiving is such a neat holiday just because it really is around gratitude and giving and family and love. And I didn't realize this when I left my home and started traveling to other people and I saw they weren't giving their dog Thanksgiving dinner. I about hit the floor. And so I started an annual tradition called Barksgiving. This was almost 15 years ago. And a lot of people would be having Friendsgiving or things like that. And so we started Barksgiving. And so every year we bake up a big feast. Now it's turned into we fire up our bakery ovens and we make thousands and thousands of Barksgivings and ship them around the nation and have this in our family. But it's a lot of fun and it's all dog friendly. So we're not having onions in there, no grapes, nothing. All of the things that dogs can't have are not included in that Barksgiving.
Wow, I know. I love it. I look forward to it every year. I remember another video you did. It was a while back. You spent 24 hours in a dog kennel yourself to give viewers the sense of what it was like inside of an animal shelter. What surprised you most about spending the whole day and night in that shelter environment?
I think it was the anxiety that never reduces. Even when the lights go out and people go home, it's not a home and there's no shelter from the shelter. And so my anxiety level stayed high along with the dogs, even through the night. There's no good night's sleep. So it's when you get dogs that have been in there for months or longer, years, you just know that the cortisol is just wreaking havoc on them physically. And it's why they need a loving family. They deserve that, because shelter life is no life for a dog.
Yeah. And that fight or flight's not healthy. Like you said, cortisol, it's, boy, that's awful. Constant. That's 24/7 for these, most of these dogs.
Yes.
So that was really interesting. Neat perspective. It reminds me, there was a guy who had adopted a blind dog. And before, the day before, he decided to put a blindfold on himself and walk around the house so he would get a feeling of what it would be like. I said, how cool is that? Like, hey, oh, bumped in. Just to feel what that dog's going through. And it was, I love that. Kudos for you. You mentioned, you know, I tell you about my testimony, and you probably get so many every day from people whose lives your videos have touched. I'm curious, did you ever think sitting on a filthy, dirty floor of a kennel, talking softly to a dog would create such a profound global movement?
No clue. When I am still beside myself. I have always tried to tell the stories of these dogs because they can't, and get them adopted and find ways to do it. And sitting with dogs really came in a moment where I had given up, because I didn't feel some of the dogs I was featuring were getting enough attention, the attention that they deserved, and all the effort myself and my team were putting behind highlighting them. They weren't getting it. We were losing a lot. Like, they just weren't getting adopted. And I gave up. I put my, when I go into kennels, I'd always set my phone in the corner as a rearview mirror so that I could see if the dog was going to bite my behind. And for the listeners, I back in to the kennel. I'm not making eye contact to really follow that body language, and I'm a large, tall male. So I've got to come off as very non-threatening. And one way to do that is just offer your backside. And when you do that with a Doberman, your heart rate's going to increase a little bit, you know. And it's funny I say that, but I'd be more nervous with a Yorkie or a Chihuahua than a Doberman.
Interesting.
So I did that, and I went home. I said, man, to my wife, I've got this amazing German Shepherd that I just would be really great to share. And I don't know, what if I just posted this in our members group that we have? And she's like, okay, you know. I was like, I'll just post the whole thing. I'm not going to even edit. She's like, well, it's 30 minutes. She loves me, but she was like, you're great. Are you 30 minutes of great? I said, I don't know. I didn't make a video or anything. I don't know how else to get this dog adopted. So we just posted it, went viral. And what we learned is, it's not me, it's the dog. They're the hero. I get to be the supporting cast and let them tell their story. And so from there, it just really took off. And it's been so neat, this community of like yourself and these passionate people that believe in dog rescue. It makes the hard days where we lose dogs possible to carry on, where turnover in shelters and volunteering is so high because there are so many hard days. So having that community has propelled us to continue to work to help these dogs. And it's been such a blessing.
Yeah, you bring up such a good point about lost dogs. I get people that, well, I'll say, you have a dog? No, I would never get another dog. My dog that lived 16 years died. And you see him get teary-eyed thinking about it. It's like, well, when did that happen? 5 years ago. And they just can't get over to get another dog. And it's like, what about the 99% of the time you had that was joyful and fun? It's like they forget that, Rocky. They just remember that last part where they had to put them to sleep. And I get it, but what would you say? It's like they love dogs, they're dog people, and they're afraid to give love again because they've lost.
Yeah, I think it's a fair question. And I felt it before too. And I give a couple pieces of advice. And one, I say, before your dog passes, have a plan. Do this with your partner, with your friend, your family, someone. Make a plan and promise each other you'll follow that plan. So when our dog crosses the Rainbow Bridge, or cat, we're going to go to the shelter exactly 2 weeks from that passing and start searching for a dog to adopt. And within 1 month, we're going to select our dog, or something along those lines. If you need more time, 6 months or 1 year later, whatever it is, so that you just follow the plan and you don't get riddled with guilt. And the other thing I'd say is, you're not replacing your dog. What you're doing is, you're going out and you are filling the hole in your heart, that void of this creature that meant so much to you, and you're giving back to another dog that needs you. They're not going to replace that dog. They're never going to be. For me, it was Flip. I will never have another Flip in my life. I can't wait one day to meet him again. There will never be another Flip. But there, I've got Kobe right now. He's a blind dog. He's completely different. And he fills my heart in so many other ways. And he's amazing. And I'll never have another Kobe one day. So I think it's You got to look at it that way.
Got to look at it that way. What's the silliest and most surprising thing a shelter dog has ever done while you were filming? Does anything come to mind?
I think the silliest thing dogs do for me when I'm sitting with them in these high stress moments are the exact opposite of anything within reason. So I'll say something like, oh, this dog is so scared they will not take a treat from me. And I know because I'm an expert. And then they take a treat from me. You know, or I'll say something along the lines of, oh, yeah, this dog has been neglected for so long and doesn't have any, like, he hasn't had any guidance. And then I'll say, okay, can you sit? And they'll sit and I'll shake. Oh, shake. And they'll have perfect training. And I'll be like, but you know, we put all that in there because I think it's really important, because the minute that you think you're the dog Jesus is the minute that you really stop learning, and I continue to learn from these dogs every day.
That's amazing. When it comes to shelters or rescue dogs, what would you say is the biggest misconception people have? What have you found that?
I think the biggest misconception that I see is people are looking for an experience when they go to a shelter and or a rescue. And those shelters or rescues, they are not customer service organizations. Unfortunately, I wish all of them could be better at that, but they're so overwhelmed, understaffed, underfunded, and their main priority is to shelter, give shelter and safety to these animals. And so I think people go in, they get their feelings hurt. Maybe they get rejected once, so they never go back again. Keep trying. Go in with humility and give them grace, and it will be willing to maybe volunteer or foster, put in a little time. It's not the same as going to Walmart to buy a vacuum. So you've got to invest a little bit in it, and it will return tenfold, but give these shelters grace.
Gotta be patient, yeah. One thing I gotta admit is I'm one of these sappy dog owners that dresses up his pup for birthday photos, which happens to be on Independence Day, the reason I named my dog Indy. That's where he got his name from. But now you offer party accessories and customized, I see natural birthday cakes for dogs. What a fantastic idea. Tell us about the dog bakery and where can people learn more?
Well, the dog bakery, there are little stores throughout Southern California, and if you ever want a dog birthday cake, you can just go to the dog bakery and online, and you'll see it there, and you can order. We'll customize it for you. It's fun. Sometimes I'm sold out. It's a really small little thing, a passion of mine. But yeah, if you ever need a dog birthday cake, I got you covered.
Yeah, and you get all kinds of great things on there. I hope people go and check that as well. Looking back, all the experiences, is there one encounter with a dog that stands out as your all-time favorite that we didn't discuss today?
There's one dog that we had where his name was Bean, and he was a little cattle dog, and he had a fracture, like multiple fractures. And he's the first dog that we took to our rehabilitation farm, named after my late dog Flip, called Flip Farms, where we're growing coffee. And when you buy the coffee, it helps support the rehabilitation of these dogs. And his rehabilitation is a perfect example of sometimes we just need time. It took him 9 months because we had to reset the leg twice. He ended up having a diaphragmatic hernia from a car, likely getting hit from a car. And he was just so resilient and so strong the entire process. But I'm happy to say now he's over a year old. He's living his best life with his mom, who is the person who actually found him after the likely car accident. And it was just meant to be. And it cost us about $40,000 to $60,000 to get him on the right path, which I never would have guessed from the get-go. I probably should have just amputated the leg, but I just believed in this little guy. And he was just a testament to smiling in the face of pain and fear at all times. And I think we can all try and be a little bit more like that strong cattle dog.
Wow. Well said. You know, I've got a lot of patients. They're stressed. I feel the tension in them. They're coming in. I mean, you just see it in their face from all the doom and gloom news, the social media. And I've steered them toward your videos. And they come back the next time they're happy. They go, thank you for that. I got something online on social media that makes me smile. So I want to thank you for that. Because I've done that as well. It gets really stressful, and I'll pop on your videos, and very touching.
That, oh my gosh, I didn't expect to start teared up on a podcast here. you have no idea how much that means to me, because we work to really keep all these videos positive. And like I said, sometimes we lose some of these dogs we're working with, and it makes it really hard. But it's moments like that where we know we have people that are a part of this, and we're winning more battles than we're losing. And this is a problem we can solve. And everyone deserves a pet in their life, and it should be a right for sure. And so I appreciate you, and I appreciate everyone that is joining us.
I can't close the show with asking a question you've probably been asked before. Have you been bitten by a rescue you sat down with in that nice, calm, relaxing, serene kennel that we don't see on the show?
Not recently, but in my years of working with dogs many times, to the point where you almost don't become scared of being bitten by a dog anymore, because once you know a little bit more how to handle it and what happens, it becomes less stressful. But we work really hard to de-stress the situation, because that dog's life depends on it. If a dog bites, a lot in many shelters across the nation, that's it. The liability is too high, and that's the end of the line for a dog. So we're very cautious, and many videos will start and we just see that the dog is not ready for this approach, and so we'll just end the video, because a lot of the dogs don't, they just don't need that added. It's too much pressure.
You're so good with feeling a dog's temperament and body language. So I think people learn a lot from you, how to approach dogs. You've just got that, you're the little whisperer, the kennel whisperer.
Well, that's not used yet.
There is the dog whisperer. I'd say, let's change it to the kennel whisperer. That's not patented. Go grab that.com.
Well, thank you. But I also, for every video you see where this happens, just know that there's a video where we ended up not going into the kennel, or I passed by 20 other dogs because they were doing okay. So just want people to know, if they go to a shelter and they don't immediately have the same experience they see that I'm doing, know that that's okay. Just keep working at it and it will come.
That's great. Is there a particular breed of dog you found that's the toughest to bond with during your sittings?
Working dogs are really challenging because they struggle in shelters, because they need a task and a job, and it's really hard to give them that in a shelter. And so you see them start to get kennel crazy in circle kennels. And so I try to get to as many working dogs as I can before it's too late for them. But all dogs, they know it's not a home.
Well said. Time flew by. It's been so great having you. In the minute we have left, is there anything else you'd like to share with the listeners that we didn't get to cover today?
I think I just want to share gratitude for anyone who's been listening, or anyone who will go follow and watch this, because it really is life-saving. It's making a difference for these animals and for these shelters, and the amount of people that share these videos to help these dogs find loving homes. I'm so grateful.
Wow. Thank you so much for joining us, and kudos for all the amazing work you do. Keep at it. You're making a big difference, including in my life, and hopefully we'll spread the word and get that to help many, many others. The book is called Sitting with Dogs, Stories of Rescue Dogs Going from Lost to Love, and you can get your copy at rockykanaka.com, and be sure to follow his journey on Facebook, Instagram, X, and especially YouTube at Rocky Kanaka. His content will inspire you. It will uplift you. Get off that doom and gloom news and the fights and the banter and the politics, and tune in. It'll bring a smile to your heart. And who knows, you might even find yourself at your local shelter ready to create your own rescue story. For my daily health tips, follow me on Facebook and X at Dr. David Friedman. On Instagram, I'm at Dr. D. Friedman. If you heard something today that will inspire somebody you know, I'm sure you did, send them a link to this episode. It's available at toyourgoodhealthradio.com, and explore our podcast library and pass along your favorite segments to friends, family, coworkers, and on social media. As I always say, sharing is caring. Echo every time I'm on the show, because I want you to share this important info. Don't keep it to yourself. And you can subscribe to future podcasts on Apple, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. More to come. Stay tuned and stay well.